morning. If you did not get a handout, raise your hand and be sure that you get one of these handouts. The Moon Festival, one of the things I like about the Moon Festival is it's the biggest moon of the year. So we were singing that song, Isn't It Beautiful? You look at that moon and you think, isn't it beautiful? But it's only reflecting the sun. It's only reflecting the sunlight. And I thought about that's a good message for us, that we are reflecting the sunlight. We're reflecting the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He is beautiful, and to reflect Him, we ought to be reflect the beauty of the Lord. We're continuing our series on taking root downward, bearing fruit upward, and our sowing and reaping. This is message number 5, a growing relationship. And our key verse here is John 15:4. Remain in me as I also remain in you, and no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Before we go to the Lord in prayer, I would ask your prayers for, this is allergy season. So Sharon is battling her allergies. So I appreciate your prayers for her. That's why she's not here this morning. Maybe some of you are battling allergies as well. I think there's a few people who have allergies here. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that we do have the freedom and the liberty and that we can come and worship you without fear. And Lord, I pray that those who are not able to come today because of illness or allergies, whatever it might be, I pray for Sharon, I pray for Julie, I pray for others, Lord, that your hand be upon them. Lord, we want to meet here with you today, and we pray that you would speak to our hearts, open our hearts, our eyes, our minds, and may your Spirit move in our midst. Show us your will, and we give you thanks, Lord. We ask that we would have a growing relationship, and that we'd give us an understanding of what that means, a growing relationship. Lord, we thank you, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. As we think about what does United with the Lord mean? And we talked a little bit about this at our retreat, and uniting is bonding together in my relationship with the Lord. And we looked at several verses on what united means. It means to be glued or cemented together. And so it was a picture of a marriage as a bonding relationship. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and two will become one flesh. And that is a picture of our relationship with the Lord, that we are united with Him. Those who put our, as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are united, we are glued in that relationship, we are bonded with Him. And then the next question, the key question would be this, what does remain in the Lord mean? And remain is growing together in my relationship with the Lord. Remain means to abide or to continue together. And here in John 15, verses 1 to 17, this word remain or continue or abide occurs 11 times. So this week we're going to look at the first 8 verses, and then next week we're going to look at the verses 9 to 17. So we continue today growing together with the Lord. So our key idea is this. We have a growing relationship with the Lord. We have this growing relationship. Once we've been bonded with Him, once we've accepted Him as our Savior. And so here's the picture is of the vine and the branch. Is growing relationship. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit of itself or by itself. It must remain in the vine. So we're going to look here at the vine. We're going to look at the branch. And we're looking at the fruit here as a result of that growing relationship. So first of all, what are the causes for growing relationships? Suggest to you that there are 3 living causes. Because it's a living relationship, it's also a growing relationship. First of all, in 15 verse 1 and 5, we read these words, I am the true vine, There are the imposters, but there's the original, the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. And then he repeats again, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. And so first of all, we see here that we are united with Christ. And we're reminded of this, that apart from Him, apart from Christ, that we can do nothing. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. So when we are united with Him in His death and in His resurrection, and we accept Him as our Savior, that we are united with Him in spirit, in mind, and thought. And when we exalt Him as our Lord, we are united with Him as well in our fellowship. And so we are reminded of this here, how we are reunited with Him. This is very important, that this is a growing relationship. And John 15, remain. It means to keep in our fellowship with Him, with Christ, and that His love can work in and through us to produce fruit. The life of the branch comes from the vine. Without the vine, the branch is just a dead stick. The life of that branch has to come from that vine. It's so important that we understand that our life comes from Him. The branch of itself has no life, but our life comes from Him. And so we are united with Him, united with Christ. And this picture here of the branch and the vine is a good reminder to us that we are united with Him. Now, Paul speaks a bit about being engrafted. In Romans 11, he said these words, if some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been engrafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do this, consider this, you do not support the root. The root supports you. So Christ is the root. Christ is the true vine, and He supports us with His life. And that sap that comes from Him, that life-giving that comes from Him. And so we are completely dependent upon Christ. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you cut off that branch becomes a dead branch. There has to be the life-giving sap. So first of all, we see this, that we are united with Christ. He is the true vine. And how important our relationship with Him. That is what helps us grow. But then the second thing that makes this a living relationship is that we are nurtured by the Father. We read these words, my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, which every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it may be ever more fruitful. And so we read these words about the God the Father. He is the gardener. He is the one who takes care of that vine. First of all, notice that He cuts off every branch that bears not fruit. If that branch does not bear fruit, He cuts away the dead wood that would breed disease and insects. So if you do not remain in me, if we do not remain in the vine, growing in that relationship with Him, we're like a branch that's thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. So it's very important that we understand that He cuts off the dead wood. If you have bushes or trees behind, that there's that dead wood just falls to the ground. And then I want you to notice something else very important is that He prunes every branch that bears fruit. He prunes it. He cuts so that it will be more fruitful. And pruning produces fruitfulness. He prunes the good wood so that it might be better. and bear better fruit and the best fruit. Because God loves us, He prunes us. And this refers, like in Hebrews chapter 12, he talks about God's discipline, God's pruning, cutting away that which would cause us to not bear fruit and cause us to bear more fruit and better fruit. Now, pruning hurts, but it also helps. Because God wants both quantity of fruit and quality of fruit. I grew up on an old farm and the countryside. And the house my father still lives there today was built in 1855. That tells you how old it is. 1855. As we walked out the back door, there was a vine right there. It would grow grapes. And so it was kind of nice. You would walk out the back door or come back from school or whatever. You could pick a few grapes for snacks or whatever. It was very, very nice to have that there. I remember one time, I think it was in the end of the winter, before spring came, my father pruned that vine. He cut off, I thought he had killed it. I mean, he cut off so many branches. I told my father, I think you killed it. I think it's dead. He said, no, you wait and see. And sure enough, that year, as it grew back, we had more grapes than ever before. That cutting away of those branches, that pruning, is what produces more fruit, better fruit. Now, it hurts sometimes to be cut. It hurts to be pruned. As a branch, you know, ouch, that hurts when we're cut or pruned. But it's for our good. We need to remind ourselves it's for our good that we are cut or pruned. And so, cut away the dead parts. Prune the things that will make us more fruitful and have better fruit. And so, as you're going through difficult times, as you're going through things that circumstances, you shake your head, what is happening? Why is this happening? It may be part of that cutting or pruning that makes us better to bear more fruit and better fruit. So God the Father, He is the one that's a gardener. He does the pruning and He is very expert in that. I was told by someone recently that there are people, that's their job. They're pruners. They're gardeners. And they go to different vineyards from one vineyard to the other. And people to hire them just to cut off, expertly cut off that which would, harm the plant, the vine, or the branch, and what will cause it to bear more fruit. And so the picture here, with God's expertise, God prunes us. So do not despise His pruning. Do not despise that at all. And then the third thing we see that's living is that we're cleansed by the Word. All right, we're united with Christ. We are. We see then the Father is the one who nurtures us. But then we see that we're cleansed by the Word. In John 15:3, you are already clean because of the Word I have spoken to you. God's Word is what cleanses us. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. I remember many times we would wash, kind of wash, you know, water the plant, but we'd kind of wash it off a little bit, clean it. That vineyard that we had, we would wash it and clean it. And God's Word does that in our lives. So these are the living causes. But I want you to see there are also some growing causes. First of all, we see that there is a growing relationship with Christ. That sap, that life-giving sap that comes, remain in me as I also remain in you. It must remain in the vine. Remain in me. If you remain in me and I in you, if you remain in me, repeat it again and again. We are only growing as we remain in that vine, Christ. And so we're reminded, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him. So, as we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it doesn't stop there. We're told here that we're to continue to live your lives. Continue, remain, abide in Him, rooted in Him, built up in Him. And so we continue to nurture that relationship with Christ. We continue to learn about Him. And then it's also a growing relationship with His words. And so He reminds us also, if you remain in Me, and My words remain in you. Now, this remain or abide, there's an object. Christ, the vine, is the object. But His words is also the object. We remain in Him, we continue in Him, we also continue in His words. The Word of God, as we read it every day, it's good to have that quiet time. That's part of growing. The quiet time, allowing God to speak to our hearts through that day. And so, we have a growing relationship with Christ, we have a growing relationship with His words. And then thirdly, I want you to see that we also have a growing relationship with prayer. And verse 7 says this, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Ask. Ask. As we allow God to speak to us, we also speak to Him. This is part of the growing relationship. God speaks to us through His Word. We speak to Him through prayer. And so, we're reminded, Christ told us in Mark 11:24, ask and receive. Ask, seek, and knock. Mark 7. We were talking about this Friday night, the youth group. We're going through Jonah, the book of Jonah, and chapter 2, and they're acting out the story of Jonah as we go through the story, and then we discuss questions. But it was interesting in chapter 2, as we see Jonah, his prayer in chapter 2, and how he turned to God in prayer. We talked about that. Was that Jonah's first resort or was that Jonah's last resort? And unfortunately, it was his last resort. It was the last thing he did. He turned to God in prayer. He was at the point of death. It was his last resort. Now, God is gracious. He hears our deathbed prayers. But prayer should not be our last resort. It should be our first resort. Our first asking of Him to give us wisdom and strength and asking Him to show us the way. And so, a growing relationship with Christ, hearing His voice and calling out to Him, that's all part of this growing relationship with Him, with Christ. And very important that we consider this relationship that we have with Him. And then I want you to think about this here. Application. Do I have a growing relationship with Christ remains? In the vine, there is life flowing back and forth, feeding and growing. And do I have that growing relationship with Christ? Every day that I'm growing. Now, there are growth spurts. There are times when there's, I look at these young people and especially it seems like over the summer. What did you eat this summer? Boy, they shoot up like this. There are growth spurts that we have, which is good. But there's also steady growth. And God may give us a growth spurt, but we continue to remain. We continue in Him. We also grow continually. So as we see the causes of a growing relationship, I want you to see then what are the results of a growing relationship. And here we see these words, that there are living results of that growing relationship. No fruit, bear fruit. Even more fruit, bear fruit. Bear fruit, bear much fruit, bear much fruit. These phrases we see in these verses. So let's take a look at each of these. No fruit. And what does mean no fruit? It means that there's no life. And so, as we saw this, that this branch then is cut off. This speaks of God's judgment, that there is no life. Remember Jesus talking about the parable of the seed sower. And some of it spurted up quickly, but it had no root, had no life. And so it died quickly. And so there's no fruit at all, no fruit in the life. And we're going to talk about what this fruit is. But this is then, that branch is cut off. It has no, and God judges it. So why? Because He wants fruit. And fruit, it means that there is life. And so as we read there, the verse in Mark 10, 4, still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up, grew, and produced a crop, or another word for crop is fruit. Some multiplying 30. Others, like seed sown on good ground, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30 times what was sown. So 30 times it shows that there's fruit there. And then we see more fruit. It means that there is life and more growth. So having fruit is an evidence of life. Having more fruit is an evidence of growth. And so we read again in Mark chapter 4. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 60. Others, like a seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, produce a crop, some 60 times what was sown. Of course, 60 is more than 30. 60 times more fruit. And so that's a desire that we would have fruit, but that also we would have more fruit. And then fourthly, we see that there was then much fruit. It means that there is life and much growth, much fruit. Now, in our period of life, we may have different times where there may be fruit or much fruit or more fruit. It may vary. But again, Mark chapter 4, still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 100 times. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 100 times of what was sown. The key here of producing much fruit. Fruit, 30 times. More fruit, 60 times. Much fruit, 100 times. In our garden, every year we plant a garden. And usually what we plant, green peppers and tomatoes and sometimes cucumbers and zucchini and a few other things like that. This year we have much tomatoes. I should say many tomatoes. That's better grammar. We have many tomatoes. So we invite you to come to our house and enjoy our tomatoes. I've never seen tomato plants. Usually they grow up to the top level of our fence, but they're up above the fence and going over the fence. And every day we go out, we pick more tomatoes. This has been the best year for tomatoes. Many, many tomatoes. So I invite you, come to our house if you like tomatoes. We'll share our tomatoes with you. But this has been a year for many tomatoes. And we pray, God, may this be a year for much fruit in our lives, in our church, much fruit. Because of the cutting, because of the pruning, that there be much fruit. And then we see that there are also growing results. Okay? There are living results and there are growing results. Growing, first of all, as we look at the growing results here, we see that the growing fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. And I invite you to read this with me, if you would, please. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, there are nine things listed here, but it's labeled as fruit. And not not fruits of the Spirit. It's labeled fruit of the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is producing all this fruit at the same time in our lives. Different, you know, maybe fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Maybe more love, much love. More joy, much joy. More peace, much peace. And so forth. He is producing these fruit, this fruit in our life. The Spirit of God, that's one of the things that that producing this fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so we should have evidence of all nine of these, of this fruit in our lives. And more fruit, and much fruit. Fruit is also growing fruit of a changed life. We read this in Matthew chapter 7. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear good fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. I've told you many times, we have also three apple trees in our backyard. But beyond that, behind our garden is this crab apple tree. If you know anything about crab apples, it's a bad tree and it's bad fruit. And there's a kind of a contrast here between these trees with their good trees and good fruit and that bad tree with its bad fruit. And so that's what the Lord shows us here, that a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And so a good tree also bears good fruit. And Philippians 1, Paul tells us this, that we're to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God, right living. So, as the fruit of our lives, God is working in our lives to change us. I think about, look back over your life. When you think of that fruit of the Spirit, it lists there those different fruits of the Spirit. You think back maybe soon after you became a Christian. You were just a young Christian. Think back on that. How much of that fruit of the Spirit did you see in your life? Oh, maybe just a little bit. You were still, struggling, but God is continuing to work in your life, in your heart, and you're growing, and you're bearing more of that fruit in a changed life. And then I like to suggest to another thing that growing fruit of changing lives is the next thing that we can take a look at here. Growing fruit of changing lives. In Colossians 1:10, it tells us that we're bearing fruit in every good work, and that we might have fruit in others. So, Spirit-produced fruit will go on reproducing from one life to another life. And so this encourages us that God's Spirit is producing in our life the fruit of the Spirit. God's Spirit is changing our life. But then we're also to have an impact on lives of others. And so as we share with others, as we encourage others and share the gospel and encourage them to grow, that Spirit-produced fruit will go on reproducing from our life to another life. And that's fruit also. Very important. And so the application here is, do you have a growing relationship with Christ that produces fruit? Produces fruit in your life and reproduces fruit in others. And so this is a growing relationship that produces fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Now, think about this with me. The believer has no fruitfulness apart from growing relationship with Christ. A branch out of contact with the vine is lifeless. But a living, growing relationship with Christ is absolutely necessary. Without it, there is nothing. Genuine life and growth is evidence of a life of fruitfulness, and the Father is glorified in fruit-bearing of His disciples. And so we read here that a living relationship is so important. No good tree, as it tells us in Luke, bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. So we ask ourselves, our relationship with Christ, is it a living relationship so that we bear fruit? Is it a loving relationship so that we may enjoy Him? Is it a lasting relationship so that we need not be afraid? Once you have begun to cultivate this deep relationship with Christ of a fruitful Christian, you have no desire to return to the shallow relationship with Christ of a careless Christian. The more we abide in Christ, the more fruit we bear. The more fruit we bear, the more the Father has to prune us so that the quality keeps up with the quantity. God is glorified by a bigger crop, but He's also glorified by a better crop. So a true branch united and remaining in the true vine will always bring good fruit, better fruit, and the best fruit. And so as branches in the vine, we have the privilege of abiding and the responsibility of bearing fruit. Let me repeat that. As branches in the vine, we have the privilege of abiding in Him, and we have the responsibility of bearing fruit. This is a beautiful picture. As I looked at this picture, it reminded me of those grapes that were at our back door. As they would grow in September, this time of year, they would look like this. And we would go out and just pick them and enjoy those grapes. And it told us that this is a living, this vine is a living, these branches are living, and they have this beautiful living fruit, much fruit. You know, maybe you're not as familiar with, a grape, grapeyard or grapevine or whatever it is. Maybe another illustration might be more that we might be used to. And I think of this illustration here as learning to plug into Jesus. We ask ourselves, are you plugged in? A lot of times you have a, you call on, sometimes now parents, our children, our youth, they know more about electronic devices than we do. And so we ask them, I can't figure out what's wrong with this. Could you come and take a look at it? Or we sometimes even call a neighbor or whatever, a friend. My computer, is this not working? Could you come and take a look at it? And, they come and they, first thing they see is, I'm sorry, you're not plugged in. Or, I'm sorry, the power switch has not been turned on. And so, we can't, it's a very simple solution, is that we need to be plugged in. We get our power from that source. And so, our lives need to be plugged into Jesus. Our lives need to be growing as we're connected to Him and continue in Him. So let's be reminded of this, that there's a living relationship and there's a growing relationship. And let's examine our hearts. Do we find that living relationship there? Do we have that growing relationship? Is there fruit? More fruit? Much fruit. Is it better fruit? Is it the best fruit? Let's bow in prayer together. Lord, we thank You that by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we're united with You, that we're submitted to You, that we have a new relationship. We're Your children. And in that new relationship, You are the vine, we are the branches. And we continue, we remain, we abide in You that we might grow. And Lord, we thank You, Father, for Your cutting and Your pruning. It hurts. But we know that You're doing that so that we might bear not just fruit, but more fruit and much fruit. Better fruit and the best fruit. Lord, we pray that you continue to work in our lives, that we might grow and that we might bear much fruit for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.